Welcome, Deep Divers. Today, we're tackling a giant, a story that, honestly, has shaped so much of modern fantasy.
It really has. An epic where, you know, the smallest people can make the biggest difference.
Exactly. We're diving into the first volume of J.R.R. Tolkien's The Lord of the Rings, that's The Fellowship of the Ring. And our mission here for this deep dive, it's not just a plot summary. We want to get into the world, the characters, those big themes.
Unpack what makes it tick right from the start.
Yeah, find those key nuggets, sort of a shortcut to understanding why it's such a cornerstone.
And what's fascinating is how Tolkien builds this incredible tapestry. It's history, it's myth, and it all kicks off from these really humble beginnings. You know, a forgotten ring, a quiet village, but it spirals into events that shake Middle-earth.
So true.
So this dive, we'll look at that journey, how the characters grow, and the really deep themes Tolkien weaves in from page one. Things like vulnerability and how unexpected heroes, else they're often crucial.
Okay, so let's set the stage. It all starts in, well, the most unlikely place, doesn't it? The Shire.
Absolutely. Home of the Hobbits.
These small, peace-loving folk love their food, their pipeweed, their cozy homes. Generally overlooked.
But tougher than they look, which becomes very important.
Right. And we're picking up after Bilbo Baggins, and that's Frodo's uncle, had his own adventure, found a golden ring from Gollum.
The inciting incident, really.
And now we hit this key moment, Bilbo's 111th birthday party, which is also Frodo's 33rd, his coming of age.
Big party.
Huge. And Bilbo, ever the eccentric, decides he's off again. One last adventure, poof, vanishes from the party.
Using the ring.
But not before Gandalf, the wizard, really presses him to leave that ring behind. Gandalf already suspects something, doesn't he?
Oh, he does. More than suspects. It's this deep, nagging worry that grows over, what, 17 years?
Yeah, a long time.
Until finally the truth comes out. He confirms it for Frodo. That little gold ring. It's the One Ring.
The One Ring. Forged by Sauron the Dark Lord.
Exactly. Made for one purpose. Total domination of Middle-earth. And the really bad news. Sauron's back.
And he wants his ring.
Desperately. And he knows, or suspects, it's in the Shire. Which puts Frodo in, well, terrible danger. Immediate danger.
So he has to run. Destination, Rivendell, the Elf Haven.
Right. But the amazing thing, and so central to the whole story, is he doesn't go alone. His friends just step up.
Samwise Gamgee, Merry Brandybuck, Pippin Took.
His closest friends. They basically invite themselves along out of loyalty and their escape. With the Black Riders, Sauron's Wraith Servants, hot on their heels. That's the real start. A brutal introduction to the world outside the Shire.
That early part of the journey, it's like they're immediately thrown into the deep end. Ancient, scary stuff.
Completely. They get forced off the road, end up in the old forest.
And Old Man Willow. I mean, a tree trying to trap them. It really sets a tone, doesn't it? The world itself can be hostile.
It does. It's not just about monsters with swords. Nature itself has this ancient, sometimes dangerous power.
But then they get rescued by maybe the strangest character in the whole book, Tom Bombadil.
Him and Goldberry, his wife. Yeah, Tom's unique. He's this powerful, cheerful, singing enigma.
He seems totally unaffected by everything, even the ring later on. Gives them shelter, helps them recover. What's his deal, really?
That's the million-dollar question. Tolkien himself was a bit coy. Tom seems to represent something ancient, maybe nature itself, that exists outside the main power struggle.
Like a different kind of power.
Exactly. Not aligned with Sauron, not really with Gandalf's side either. Just it makes you think not all strength looks the same, you know?
True. And he has to save them again shortly after, right? From the Barrow-wights.
Spooky undead spirits in the burial mounds. And that's where they get their special daggers, the Barrow Blades. Ancient weapons with some power against, well, the Witch King later.
Right, foreshadowing. So after all that ancient magic and danger, they finally reach Bree, a human town, the Prancing Pony Inn.
A bit of civilization, or so they think.
But then Frodo has that accident. Slips, puts the ring on by mistake, vanishes in the middle of the common room.
Draws all the wrong kinds of attention. Exactly what they were trying to avoid.
And that puts them right in the path of another mysterious figure, Strider.
The ranger. He corners Frodo, seems grim, knows way too much. You can see why the hobbits are suspicious.
Totally. But then, thank goodness, that letter from Gandalf finally shows up. The innkeeper forgot about it.
Classic Butterbur. But the letter confirms Strider, or Aragorn, as we later learn, is a friend, an important one.
And just in time. Because the rooms get ransacked, ponies set loose. The enemy is right there.
They can't stay. They have to trust Strider and head into the wild. off the roads.
Which leads them to Weathertop, that old watchtower ruin.
In a really terrifying encounter, 4 black riders attack them there.
Strider fights them off, bravely uses fire, but Frodo gets stabbed.
Yeah, with a Morgul blade. A specifically nasty magical weapon. It's not just a wound, it's poison meant to turn him into a wraith.
A fate worse than death, really.
Absolutely. So now it's a desperate race. Frodo's fading, succumbing to the wound's power. They have to get to Rivendell.
And they get help from Glorfindel, the Elf Lord. A flash of light against the darkness.
He gets Frodo onto his horse, Asphaloth, who carries him across the ford of Bruinen, just ahead of the riders. Elrond raises the river, washes him away, just barely makes it.
Such a close call. So Rivendell, it means safety, healing.
A sanctuary. Frodo wakes up, healed by Elrond's skill. He's reunited with Bilbo, who's living there now.
Which leads to that really uncomfortable moment, doesn't it? When Bilbo asks to see the ring again.
Oof, yeah. You see the power it still holds over him? That flash of greed, the change in his face? It's chilling.
A stark reminder, even someone mostly good isn't immune.
Exactly. It shows you what Frodo is truly up against, internally.
And then the big reunions. Gandalf is there. He explains his absence, captured by Saruman.
And the other huge reveal? Strider. He's not just a ranger.
He's Aragorn, son of Arathorn, the last heir of Isildur, heir to the throne of Gondor and Arnor.
Huge. Suddenly, this isn't just about hobbits. It's about the fate of kingdoms, the return of kings.
Rivendell becomes the nerve center, doesn't it? Time for big decisions.
Yes, the Council of Elrond. Elrond gathers everyone, elves, dwarves, men, hobbits, Gandalf, Gloin is there, Legolas, Boromir from Gondor.
A council of all the free peoples.
And Gandalf drops the bombshell about Saruman the White, the head of his order, betraying them, falling to the lure of the ring's power.
Another wise figure corrupted. It's a recurring theme.
Definitely. The temptation of power. So the council debates. What do we do with the ring? They realize it can't be used. It's inherently evil.
It has to be destroyed.
The only way is to take it back to the source, Mount Doom, in Mordor itself.
Sauron's backyard. An impossible task.
Seems that way. And then silence. Who would possibly take on such a mission?
And little Frodo Baggins speaks up. I will take the ring, he says, though I do not know the way.
Such a simple, incredibly brave moment. Humble, but powerful.
So Elrond decides. 9 companions will go. The Fellowship of the Ring, 9 walkers against the 9 riders.
The symbolic balance. And the members. Frodo, of course. His loyal Sam. Gandalf. Aragorn. Boromir of Gondor.
Legolas the Elf. Gimli the Dwarf, son of Gloin.
And Merry and Pippin. They refuse to be left behind.
It's quite the mix. Elf and Dwarf side by side, eventually becoming friends.
That friendship between Legolas and Gimli is one of the great underlying stories, really. Overcoming ancient prejudice. But they're all united for now by the quest and loyalty to Frodo.
So the Fellowship sets out, 9 strong, toward Mordor. But trouble finds them fast.
Almost immediately. They try to cross the Misty Mountains over the Pass of Caradhras.
But the mountain itself seems hostile. Terrible snowstorms, maybe Saruman's influence, maybe just nature.
Either way, they're blocked. Forced to consider a darker path. Through the mines of Moria.
Gimli wants to go. It's his people's ancient kingdom. Aragorn and Gandalf are very reluctant.
They know the danger. Moria has been dark for a long time. But they have little choice.
And inside, it's grim. They find the tomb of Bolin, Gimli's cousin, who led an expedition to retake Moria. It failed. Horribly.
They find the record of their last stand in the Book of Mazerbul. Orcs overwhelm them.
And just as they realize this, the drums start. Drums in the deep.
They're attacked. Hordes of orcs, cave trolls, a desperate flight through the ancient dwarven halls.
They're heading for the Bridge of Khazad-dûm, the exit. But then something else appears.
Something far worse. A Balrog, a demon of the ancient world. Shadow and flame.
A creature of immense power left over from the Elder Days. Gandalf knows what it is.
He makes his stand on the narrow bridge. The Fellowship escapes, but Gandalf confronts the Balrog.
You cannot pass, that iconic line.
He breaks the bridge, the Balrog falls, but it drags Gandalf down with it into the abyss.
Just devastating. The loss of their guide, their mentor, their powerhouse.
Utterly shattering for the Fellowship. The grief is immense, but they can't stop.
Aragorn has to step up, doesn't he? Take command. Lead them out of Moria.
He does. Grief-stricken, but resolute. He leads them to the borders of Lothlorien, the hidden elven realm.
Galadriel's realm. Another place of refuge, but different. More mysterious, maybe.
Definitely. It's ancient, powerful, infused with elven magic. They meet Lord Celeborn and Lady Galadriel. She's formidable, wise, ancient, powerful.
She seems to test them, in a way. Looks into their minds.
Yes, subtly. She offers rest, counsel, gives them gifts. But she also shows Frodo and Sam visions in her mirror. Glimpses of what might be, good and bad. Testing their resolve.
And Frodo offers her the ring, doesn't he?
He does, in a moment of desperation, perhaps. Oh. And Galadriel is tempted, you see it, the power she could wield.
But she refuses, passes the test, knows it would ultimately corrupt her too. An incredible moment of wisdom.
It really is. It shows just how seductive the ring is, even for the greatest of the elves. Her choosing to diminish and remain Galadriel is profound.
So they rest, recover somewhat, and then leave Lothlorien, heading down the great river Anduin by boat. But the cracks are starting to show.
Yeah, the pressure is mounting. Boromir especially. He's thinking constantly of Gondor, his besieged city. He starts looking at the ring differently.
Seeing it as a weapon, a shortcut.
Exactly. The temptation Gandalf and Elrond warned about. Plus, they realize they're being followed.
Gollum. Paddling on his log, always lurking.
Creepy and persistent. Adds to the tension. They reach the Falls of Rauros, a major crossroads. They have to decide. East to Mordor. Or west to Minas Tirith, like Boromir wants.
He argues strongly for Gondor, right? Use the ring against Sauron.
Passionately. But the others, especially Aragorn, know it's a false hope. The ring only serves Sauron.
They put the final decision on Frodo as the ring bearer.
He goes off alone to think. An impossible choice. And that's when Boromir follows him.
The confrontation.
Tragic. Boromir, driven by fear for his people and the ring's influence, finally snaps. He tries to take the ring by force.
Frodo's terrified, uses the ring to escape, becomes invisible.
Boromir realizes what he's done, filled with remorse, but the damage is done. For Frodo, it's the final straw.
He sees the ring's power corrupting his friends. He can't put them through that or the danger of Mordor.
So he makes the hardest decision yet. He has to go alone. He tries to slip away quietly.
But one person figures it out.
Samwise Gamgee. Faithful Sam. He guesses Frodo's plan. Runs after him, nearly drowns, trying to get into the boat.
I'm going with you, Mr. Frodo.
He refuses to let Frodo face Mordor alone. It's the breaking of the fellowship as a company of nine.
Of the continuation of the quest.
Yeah.
Just in a different, more solitary form. Wow.
Yeah. End of volume one. Quite the cliffhanger.
Absolutely. What an incredible journey just in this first part. From the quiet shire, through forests, mountains, mines, elven woods, only to have the company shatter.
We've seen hobbit courage, wizardry, elven wisdom, human frailty.
And that constant insidious pull of the ring, temptation.
Yeah.
So reflecting on all this, what's the takeaway for you listening? Maybe it's about how vital those small acts, that quiet loyalty, really are against massive, overwhelming evil.
That's a great point. And maybe it raises this question. Frodo choosing to go alone, Sam choosing to follow. It shifts our idea of heroism, doesn't it? It wasn't the power of the nine that mattered most in that moment, but the bond between these two.
So where does true strength lie when you're facing something like the One Ring? Is it in numbers? Or is it in that quiet individual selfless resolve? Something to think about, definitely.